You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is the Asheville FM News Hour. I'm news team correspondent Emma Hutchins, joined in the studio today by a member of the Asheville Survivors Coalition, as well as a supportive community member of their efforts. Thank you so much for sitting down with me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Could you please introduce our listeners to the work that you're doing?
Sure. My name is Eva, and I work with Asheville Survivors Coalition. And Asheville Survivors Coalition is an ad hoc coalition to directly support survivors of sexual violence, exploitation, and injustice, and spread knowledge about danger, inform the community, prevent further harm, and to seek justice. We will continue working to keep our community a safer, better place.
What are you working on right now?
We are focused right now on a campaign to spread awareness about the alleged sexual assaults that a business owner in town has done, as well as his work. He's an artist removed from public places that represent Asheville.
And what does that initiative look like?
Right now, we have a website, AshevilleSurvivorsCoalition.wordpress.com, and we have released information about this person and statements from survivors that talk about the alleged sexual improprieties that he has done to them.
What has the response been like so far?
It's been very positive. It's definitely, for most people, probably a different way of processing this information. I think most people would be used to hearing about it initially from an established news outlet. And so there is sort of a what's happening here kind of quality, I think, that people just have to sit back and digest it in a different way and take some time with the information and see what they think for themselves. And so I think that that's great and important. And like I said, we exist in order to spread awareness and knowledge. And so after that, it's up to people to do for themselves what they want with that information. We also have a campaign right now called Take It Down, which is about the art of this artist is up at Asheville Airport. And we're hoping to get at first the airport, so that's Asheville Regional Airport, to take down the area of their wall that's devoted to this particular artist. And then ensuingly, other community entities such as the Asheville Chamber of Commerce and the DoubleTree Hotel in Biltmore, Mission Hospital Care Partners, other entities such as that that have this individual's art up as well.
Now that the issue has come to light, do you see it finding momentum through news outlets and other forms?
You know, we have actually spoken to a number of reporters, and we do so therefore know that pieces are in the works in a number of places.
This is not the first time that the community of Asheville has experienced an issue, you know, with a local business where an issue has come to light about prominent people in the community who are found to be engaging in non-consensual activity. And my question is, what is the responsibility of the community of Asheville or of city council, of the businesses that you just mentioned, or the community where this person operates their business? What is the responsibility of that community now that these stories have come to light?
So my name is Mick Collins, and I live here in Asheville. And about 3 weeks ago, I started to see social media posts pop up on my news feed about the Asheville Survivors Coalition and the work that we're doing. And I read some of the statements that were released and, you know, had the same experience of immediately thinking back to 2 years ago and the controversy surrounding the coffee shop Waking Life, where the two men who own that business had implicated themselves all over the internet, participating in behavior towards their employees, towards customers, that was, you know, overall degrading towards women. So connecting that with what's happening now and this prominent artist in Asheville, especially in a moment defined by the Me Too movement, we're seeing a combination here of wealth and power that is getting a different reaction from the community. So we heard before about how there has been a positive response to what the Asheville Survivors Coalition is doing, but there's also been a lot of silence about the information that has been put out there. And I think that's indicative of the fact that the person who is implicated in these statements has a lot of wealth and power in the arts community here in Asheville. As we heard, their art is displayed in the airport. It's at the Chamber of Commerce. It's at Mission Hospital. So this is a really prominent member of the community. And in those circumstances, it's harder for people to come out and break the silence around what is happening. So as somebody who lives in the community, I wanted to offer my, you know, public vocal support for the work that is being done, because we're seeing the effects of a culture and society that is steeped in patriarchy, in which, you know, the legal system and the justice system is designed right now to for the benefit of men in positions of power, which creates the circumstance in which people have to stay silent in order to preserve their own livelihood. So far with the Asheville Survivors Coalition, you know, it's been an anonymous movement, and I think that's indicative of the ways the real risks that people are taking speaking out against this behavior. But in terms of community response, you know, that's where we can't rely on the legal system in this moment. We really have to have a strong belief in the right of citizens and community members to act here, and encourage them to take action, to take proactive action.
Something I've been reflecting about, what's different this time, you know, between this particular artist and between the situation at Waking Life. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts about this. But one of the things that came to mind is the artist's current silence on the issue, whereas the business owners of Waking Life admitted to what they had done because they had no choice. And therefore, there was this pretty quick turnaround in Asheville where the truth came out about what was happening and their business was closed due to community pressure. I'm not, like you just said, I'm not seeing that community pressure yet. And I'm wondering what is different this time around.
It's really different. The size of the business and the scope of it and the length of time that it's been in Asheville, as well as the amount of influence that it has, is completely different from two young men operating a coffee shop, which was fairly successful but also was fairly short-lived, and they just didn't have the same kinds of ties in the community and the same money behind them. So this is a very different case for people to be working on, because it's almost as if the entire city, by nature of putting him forward as the quintessential artist of Asheville, is implicated. I've heard so many people talk about the fact that there's been a whisper network around this person for years, and that the amount of people that have been affected and the amount of people that are aware of this activity has been very, very large. This person donates to a lot of charities. They partner with a lot of entities. So it goes way beyond the art scene. It definitely kind of hits all the high points of the movers and shakers in this town. And so I think it's just going to take, courageous entities like Mountain Bizworks and the Hotel Indigo, who both have either already removed his art and made public statements or have promised to remove his art. And, you know, it's always just the ball has to get rolling. And so sometimes, unfortunately, a lot of people just want to wait around and see which way the wind blows. And in this case, it takes a little bit more time for the wind to pick up.
Yeah, and I think too, if we broaden the scope nationally, we're actually a lot of the things that are happening are very similar to what's happening across the country. So some responses to the statements have been released are, you know, where's the proof, or why didn't they come out earlier and say something about this? And the one thing that the media has covered so far has been the fact that the artist released a statement in which he did the thing, you know, that we've seen other people do, whether it's Harvey Weinstein or Louis C.K. or Matthew Lauer. He offered an apology while maintaining his innocence. He said he was sorry for hurting people while also claiming that he never actually did anything. So again, we're seeing this the same tactics that have been used by men elsewhere in the country, you know, prominent men in positions of power, extremely wealthy, releasing a statement that essentially undermines the statements that have been made against them, you know, so they apologize without actually really apologizing. And when it comes to the legal system, you know, it's not the place where the community is going to have access to holding people accountable. But as we heard before, there are already businesses who are taking responsibility into their own hands, whether it's Mountain BizWorks or the Hotel Indigo, and deciding for themselves, having read the statements, having heard from women about what their experiences have been working for this person, they have taken, you know, the proactive position of taking down the art, you know, and as community members, we want to ask more businesses, especially ones that avidly represent Asheville. You know, when people come into the airport, the first thing they're seeing is this person's art displayed. And there's a responsibility to change that circumstance.
So today we released statement number 4, which is the fourth statement from a person affected or a survivor of this artist's business or his activities. So this statement is a long explanation of her one day that she spent at the artist's studio in, I believe, 2007, where she met this man, he interviewed her, and then invited her to spend the rest of the day there, and then was assaulted by him. So that statement can be found at AshevilleSurvivorsCoalition.wordpress.com, and it's also accompanied by a supporting document, which is an email from the studio of the artist and a photo of the artwork in question that is also part of this story.
Hearing you talk about the public asking for proof or even asking for details, it's something that I have a personal reaction to. I feel that the details of a situation like this shouldn't matter. There's a question, there's a singular question of, did something non-consensual happen here? And if the answer is yes, then the details of what happened, or if there's proof, in my personal opinion, are obsolete. And so I just want to note that, yes, you have created a place where people can go and they can learn more about the atrocities that people have been through. You can learn more, but I guess I want to raise the rhetorical question of, do we need to learn more in order to react and respond as a community, to hold someone accountable, but also to take care of one another?
Apparently we do need to learn more. I mean, I think that what people are asking for over and over again is proof and details. And there seems to be, there's this societal thing that happens when we see wrong done, where we shift the blame from the perpetrator to the victim. And that results in survivors being victimized in a recurring way if they come forward. And then we blame survivors for not coming forward in the first place and not pressing charges. And we say, if it's not being dealt with in a court of law, then it's not real, and therefore it must be made up. So the pressure on survivors from all directions is enormous after having gone through the ordeal itself. So it almost makes no logical sense to come forward in a culture of intense victim blaming, misogyny, knee-jerk disbelief, character assassination, and automatic extension of the benefit of the doubt to those accused of doing harm. So it is unfortunate that no one has come out about this so far, you know, when the community has, it's really been an open secret. This town is, I guess, you know, full of 80,000 people, large number of whom seem to already know about this, who haven't done anything yet. So it seems like it's time for us to band together. So it's not just one person coming forward on their own. It's more of the effort of coalition of people.
Also, there's this sense that, like, maybe something has changed. You mentioned the Me Too movement, Mick. You know, maybe society has come to a place where we're ready to deal with this. You know, we're ready to end a cycle of victim blaming and ignoring and silence. But it seems like that question mark kind of lingers here in Asheville right now. Are we ready to have our own breakthrough Me Too moment? It's easy when something's happening in another town to say, like, if it was happening here, we would fully support the women involved. But it is happening here. And that, so Asheville is being asked that question right now.
I think that's just absolutely on point. You know, we live in a sexist culture. And I say that, you know, not from a place of superiority. I am in and of that culture, you know, so I have, as a person who is socialized male, I have said sexist things, I've done sexist things. But you do sort of point to this watershed moment of Me Too, where 2 months ago on my social media, you know, just witnessing the flood of every woman I know in my life, you know, making a post about their own experience, whether it was sexual harassment or assault or rape. And here we are in this moment in our own community in Asheville, you know, and it's there right now. The Asheville Survivors Coalition is doing work around one person, but it's about something much bigger than that. You know, this doesn't stop at the River Arts District. This is the restaurant industry and the hotel industry. This is walking down the street for people. But though the awareness has been raised, we still have the work to do, right? And that work can be scary and will likely be messy. But we have to decide for ourselves, you know, if we have the courage and the will to actually follow through with the action that is needed here. And that's why I've been such a vocal, supportive person when it comes to the Asheville Survivors Coalition. People need a place to go. People need to know that they're not alone in this work, in this movement.
How can people reach out or use the Asheville Survivors Coalition as a resource?
We invite anyone to contact us at our email address, which is empoweravl, so that's empoweravl, @gmail.com. And they are welcome to take a look at our website and read the statements of their survivors involved. And if they want to do something proactive, right now what we've invited people to do is sign on in solidarity as supporters of these survivors. And we have a great number of people who have already signed on, some of whom are very recognizable names in the community. And also, we have our campaign Take It Down that people can share and in social media and read about, which is right now we're focusing on Asheville Airport. We'd like them to take down the art of the artist in question immediately and replace it with art that better represents our community. We want to address that sexual violence and harassment it doesn't occur in isolated incidents. It is an epidemic that we're all moving through constantly. And so it affects all of our interactions and every institution and the way we raise our children and our conversations with each other and our sense of relative safety in the world. And so we believe that every person has the right to live and work and exist free of harm and without being harassed or assaulted or endangered in the course of their daily lives. But we also recognize that we're really far from, we're exceedingly far from that reality. And so, you know, the initial thing that we feel that's important to do is stop the most egregious cases of harm where people with the most power are abusing that. And, you know, that's really only the first step. We can't just, you know, assume that this movement consists of a few people being called out and then everything's fine. It's really up to every single person to help build that different set of relations and that new way of interacting and assumptions and just take down basically all of how we've been raised, you know, when the barrage of Me Too testimonials came out a few months ago. I mean, it was even eye-opening for me as a woman that has definitely experienced my fair share of trauma, to just see that it's instead of it being, instead of we're walking through a field and we see a little instance here or there, no, it's more like, it's just the water we're swimming in and the air that we breathe. I mean, we really have that much to alter. So it's not one of these things that's going to go away with the next news cycle. And I think we've been able to see now that, you know, it's systemic and it's going to be persistently that these issues get brought up because they're, you know, it's not going to go away. The president of the United States, you know, a sexual assaulter should not be living in the White House with impunity at this point. So it's just absolutely comprehensive.
Yeah. And I think, again, as someone who was socialized male and is perceived as a man in this society, I said before, and I'll say it again, I've done sexist things. I've said sexist things. And my wager would be that a lot of other men are in the same boat. But there's a need to move past the denial of that and move past the shame and the guilt that is associated with that in this moment and start reaching out to one another and talking about these things, talking about where they show up in our lives, because they're hurting everyone. They're hurting all of us. So there is the need to do that individual work with one another. And but at the same time, you know, we also need to do the work of addressing this collectively. And I think that's where, you know, supporting the work of the Asheville Survivors Coalition and, you know, the many other organizations in this town, whether it be Our Voice or Helpmate or the YWCA, that are addressing these issues. But especially when it comes to these more difficult instances, there is a need to speak out, right? And even when you don't have, you might not have the right words or exactly the right ideas, but speaking out in support of the folks who are doing the work it can be incredibly powerful. So that's just what I'd like to say, is invite more folks, especially men and community members, to speak out in support of the work that women are doing, of the work that queer folks and trans folks are doing against, you know, these oppressive patriarchal gender norms and attitudes.
Well, thank you both so much for speaking with us today and for the work that you're doing here in the community.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.